Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football exclusive.
Bubba Gump, Bubba Shrimp, Bubba Franks.
You're tuned in to the Fantasy Football Insiders Tight End Preview Show. That's right, baby. Back at it again. Can't stop, won't stop. It's another edition. I'm your host, Rick Ferratella. With me, I got the Triple R Connection, Ross Mandel and Ralph Mancini. Say hello to the people.
What's up? Tight end time, baby. Love tight ends. Give me Mike Ditka. Give me John Mackey. Give me Ben Coates, baby.
If you don't know, we're all jazzed up over here for some tight end talk. And we're going to break it down for you. Real nice and lovely now. So you can shine up that fantasy football championship ring. This is where you do it. Right here exclusively on the Fantasy Sports Channel. Blog Talk Radio. We're here. Check us out. And we're talking tight ends. We did the quarterbacks. We did the running backs. We did the wide receivers. Now it's time for the tight ends. And before we break down our tiers, before we get into the stud duds and sleepers, we're going to talk about strategy. And to do that, we're going to have Ross D'Adama shine up his crystal ball and tell us the future of how you should select your tight end in the fantasy football draft.
You got it. You got it, Rick. Look, in every draft I've ever been in, and there's been a lot of them, there's always one person who drafts a tight end too early. And then after that, there are always those who panic and follow suit, which inevitably causes somebody to yell out, "Oh, tight end run!" Look, if someone takes a tight end in the top 40, to me, that's way too soon. However, things are a bit better if you're drafting a points per reception league, but we'll get to that later. Tight ends is not a position to panic over. Rev, I don't know if you agree with that or not, but go ahead.
Well, I'm going to keep it nice and simple here. When selecting a tight end, make sure that he is part of an offensive system where he's going to be a featured component. A tight end might be thrown to often, might not be thrown to often in a run-heavy scheme, or it could be taken out of the game if a particular offense likes to go four or five wideout formations. So be very careful. Look at the offensive scheme. Look at the teams. Look at the quarterbacks before taking your tight end.
And when you're talking tight ends, there's no one bigger or better to start off with than none other, Tony Gonzalez. Okay? This guy's been a staple of elite tight endism for the last decade or so. So let's talk about his whole trade now to Atlanta. Ralph, there's been some talk that he's going to be used more in the blocking game. Are you buying it? How does this affect his fantasy value? Talk to me.
I am buying it. I think he will be used more as a blocker. That doesn't mean that he's garbage. He's still one of the top tight ends out there. But don't expect him to put up the same numbers he put up last year. Don't forget, Michael Turner is the featured part, the centerpiece of that offense over there. So he is going to get to block more. Overall, I think that he opens up things for the entire offense. The attention that he's going to attract underneath is going to help open things up for Falcon receivers, Roddy White and company, and he's also going to make Matt Ryan a better quarterback.
Ross, are you buying the whole Tony Gonzalez is going to block more? Do you think he's going to have a fantasy drop-off, or is he just as good, if not better?
Yeah, I think he's going to suffer a bit of a fantasy drop-off, and I think if you expect him to do what he did last season, you're going to be a little disappointed. I still think he's going to be among the elite tight ends, but I think he's definitely going to suffer a drop-off.
Now, one guy we were all over last season was John Carlson, the rookie for the Seattle Seahawks out of Notre Dame. We called it. We told you this guy was going to be a player. I actually have him catapulting into the elite Tier 1 group. We'll talk about that more later. But who are some candidates this year that could be the next John Carlson? You know, we saw Dustin Keller showed some flashes last year. You know, who's the guy right now that's flying under the radar that could be this year's, you know, John Carlson, Dustin Keller type, Ross?
Well, you know, you got to search long and hard, and I came up with a few names here, most notably Mr. Pettigrew in Detroit. I think he's going to play every play from the get-go, and with the lack of targets and the whole safety valve factor with the rookie quarterback, I expect Pettigrew to be the class of the rookie tight ends. Another couple guys that are worth mentioning here, Jared Cook at Tennessee. I know he's buried a bit on the depth chart, but he's been very impressive so far at OTAs, and he's a matchup nightmare for the opposing defenses. Look, Algie Crumpler is essentially shot as far as I'm concerned. Bo Scaife, free agent after this season, Tennessee's going to need to see what they have in this investment, and I think Cook should see plenty of targets, especially late in the season. And the last guy I want to mention, bit of an injury problem right now, but I think if he's healthy, he's going to post some numbers, and that's Chase Kaufman at Cincinnati. I know he can't block, so he can't play every down yet, but keep an eye on his health, because Reggie Kelly, I don't think that's much of an obstacle for the former Mizzou man. So I kind of like Chase Kaufman, especially if you're in a keeper or dynasty league.
Well, I'm going to divide my response into two parts here. Number one, who is going to be this year's John Carlson? And I'm not referring to rookies here. Oh. I'm going to refer to a veteran guy who I think is ready to take that next step up, and that's Mr. Brent Celek. Whenever he's been given a chance to start, he's produced. Philly loves throwing the ball to their tight ends around the goal line. This kid's a hard worker who constantly gets open, and he'll be a lot more consistent than L.J. Smith was. As far as the rookies go, yeah, I agree. I like Brendan Pettigrew. I like him better than any other of the other tight ends in his rookie year. I think he should be an instant contributor because he can do what a lot of other tight ends, rookie tight ends, can't do, and that's block.
Mm-hmm.
Down the road, however, I think Jared Cook will be the much better offensive weapon. And also, as Ross mentioned, look out for Chase Kaufman.
Brent Celek, the celery stick, we're going to name him Ants on a Log right now. You heard it here first. I'm really surprised that nobody's mentioned Sean Nelson over in Buffalo. I mean, this guy is a John Carlson clone. The guy can not only block, he can catch, he's going to start, and he's going to be good for 40 catches, 400 to 500 yards, and 4 to 5 touchdowns. Sean Nelson.
However, I don't think he's an inline blocker, though. I think that
he's a very good blocker.
Not an inline blocker, though. I don't think he's a traditional tight end. He's a guy that they might actually split out wide because he is lanky
and
he's athletic.
No, I disagree. He's actually a better blocker than he is receiver.
I agree with Rick, but I also have to give Reverend, he said something important there. They don't run. They're not going to run a traditional offense in Buffalo.
They're going to run a no-huddle, a hurry-up offense. I like John Carlson a lot. And not only that, a couple of rookies I'll just throw out there to you guys. Casey.
Kid from Rice.
Rice. Little Wildcat formation. Can play some quarterback. I got him in my one dynasty league. And one guy that might fly under the radar, barring, you know, health. He had some injury problems at Florida. That's Cornelius Ingram. You know, in Philadelphia, you mentioned Celek. You know, they did have L.J. Smith was phased out. He signed with Baltimore. You know, if Celek falters, I'm not so sure that Cornelius Ingram doesn't get his fair share. So, you know, just a couple guys to keep on your radar as far as rookies are concerned.
It's too early for Ingram.
Any chance L.J. Smith has a better season than Todd Heat?
I think there's a good chance.
Not outrageous.
You know who's going to get drafted.
It's not outrageous. And speaking of tight end battles, before we get to our stud duds and sleepers, I want to throw this one out for you because the biggest tight end competition probably going on in training camp will be in Green Bay. That high-powered offense, Ralph, Jermichael Finley and Donald Lee. You know, Jermichael Finley's a guy that, you know, everybody's forgotten about, but when it comes to athleticism, I mean, he doesn't have the Vernon Davis sculpture, but he does have the ability to be a contributor. How do you see that whole Green Bay tight end battle playing out?
I love Jermichael Finley as a deep sleeper here. And the thing that I really love about him, and I loved about him since his college days, is his ability to run, especially run after the catch. I mean, this guy is a stud. He can take a 5-yard catch and turn it into a 60-yard touchdown. That's what we're talking about with Jermichael Finley. Donald Lee is a nice, serviceable tight end. Jermichael Finley could be a stud.
And when you talk about Jermichael Finley, Ross, I mean, here's a guy, you know, a junior who probably came out too early, but, you know, needed some time to develop. Looks like he's finally starting to come around. What's the ceiling for this guy?
You know what? This year, the ceiling, I could see, you know, 600 yards and 7 touchdowns. I really am high on this kid, and I think that half the people in your draft are going to draft Donald Lee ahead of him, and that is going to be a humongous mistake. I think this, you know, the kid Finley is going to be the guy in Green Bay. I don't think, you know, I'm very high on him and I'm very down on Lee. So, I mean, that's where I stand on that.
So, JerMichael Finley, you heard it here first in July.
Keep it quiet, people. Keep it quiet.
Set off the fireworks, baby. This is why we bring home the title. You tuned in to the Fantasy Football Insiders radio show. I am Rick Saratella. For those of you hating on me in the so-called Expert League, the first annual Fantasy Sports Channel League, I heard what you said.
Uh-oh.
Let the standings do the talking, brother.
Talk to me in December, baby, when I'm laughing.
He's calling you out.
Tell me how my dust tastes when I leave you in the behind in my rearview mirror, baby.
That's right, Kobe.
All right, guys, let's talk studs, and sleepers. And you know we love to do that right here on Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show. If you don't know, check us out during the regular season. We break down every single game for you, stud, duds, and sleeper style. And here's a little glimpse of that flavor. I'm going to start it off with the Reverend Ralph Mancini. He's always preaching nothing but the finest studs, baby.
Oh, yeah, the SDS edition. I love it. I'm going to go with Zach Miller from the Oakland Raiders as one of my studs. You know, people are going to discard him because he only had one touchdown in 2008. Don't. The Raiders are planning to expand his role in the red zone. He gets out of his cuts with ease, a very good route runner, had 16 catches of 20 yards or more last season. I like Zach Miller to do better this year. The other guy is a guy we all know and love, a local guy from Wayne, New Jersey. That's Greg Olsen, a tight end with wide receiver skills. Look for him to be Jay Cutler's number one option over there in the Windy City. And my duds are going to be, and I know Ross is going to agree with me here, Todd Heap from Baltimore. Look, the fact of the matter is, the reason why Baltimore went out and got L.J. Smith is because they're trying to phase out Todd Heap. Only caught 33 passes for 3 touchdowns last year. He plays in a conservative scheme. He isn't a feature guy anymore. He's just a spare part. If you're going to spend a high pick on this guy, you're wasting your time barking up the wrong tree. The other guy that I don't like is a big-time dud is going to be Ben Watson from the New England Patriots. He doesn't have great hands or instincts in running his routes. He's not as fast as he used to be, and now must contend with Alex Smith and Chris Baker with the New England Patriots. My sleepers are going to
I'm going to cut you off at the duds, Reverend, because we're still on studs, baby. So
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was waiting for him to go all the way through, brother.
Fast forward there on me. Go ahead, Ross, with your studs.
Well, you got to mention the top three there, Whitten, Gonzalez, and Gates, and Dallas Clark. But another couple guys that I consider studs, and Rev mentioned Zach Miller. I like him a lot.
Yes.
And again, something he said there rings true with my guy, Chris Cooley. Just because he didn't have touchdowns last season, do not write this guy off. He's done. Last year was an aberration, man. I'm telling you, this guy is going to get back to scoring. He's going to get back to being one of those top tight ends. You're going to wish you had him if you don't have him. Another guy that most people don't like, but again, I'm going against the grain here, that's Tony Scheffler in Denver.
Ew.
Yeah,
wow.
There you go. Look, I think Orton is going to dink and dunk, and he's going to look for Scheffler, and he's going to find him a lot. In a points-per-reception league, he's going to rack up some points for you. Look,
they have a lot of tight ends there. They drafted Richard Quinn. They traded up.
I am aware, as they say in the business.
Injury-prone.
But, you know, Chris Cooley is definitely at the top of my stud list as far as a not obvious top three or four guys.
I actually had Cooley as a sleeper rather than a stud because, like you said, 800 yards receiving, only one touchdown. I think people are going to be down on him. I think you can get him later in the draft. People are going to be hesitant to draft him. I agree, Miller in Oakland, aside from Darren McFadden, I think Miller is the second most valuable fantasy player on that team. And Greg Olsen, hey, what did he play? 7 games last year.
The man's a stud.
5 touchdowns, had more catches and receiving yards than Desmond Clark did in 16 games. So, you know, I've been saying it for the last 2 years. Finally, my Jersey connection, Greg Olsen, is going to make me look good because I'm going to tell you, Greg Olsen and John Carlson, those are my two players catapulting into that Tier 1 category. We'll talk about that, but those are my studs, and Ralph blessed you with his duds, so now we're going to go back to Ross for his duds.
All right, I'm going to go with Todd Heap, as Ralph mentioned. Look, he's overrated like another guy on my list here because of his name and his former effectiveness, but I would stay away from Todd Heap. And another guy like that is Jeremy Shockey. Look, a lot of lists that I've seen have this guy in the top 10. I don't see it. He's living off his name.
Zero touchdowns.
I mean, how is he ranked anywhere?
Are those lists from, like, 2006?
No, man. They're
is that Las Vegas fans?
it's dehydration. The dehydration fantasy.
Is that Kegstand fantasy?
Yeah, you got it. Another guy that I don't think is going to have a good season this year is Vicente Shenko. Look, even
really?
If Brett Favre goes there... The guy made his living last year off of three games. He's inconsistent.
I don't know about that.
Go look at the numbers, bro. He had three really good games, and the rest he kind of took
Unless
off.
Unless they signed Jermaine Wiggins out of the UFL.
Oh. hey, don't be harshing on the UFL, man. I don't like – look, I'm not going to say don't draft him ever, but don't be thinking you're going to get a repeat or an improvement over last year's number just because old number four is coming to Minnesota.
That's a bitter Giants fan for you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, let's talk some sleepers. Before you do, I just want to reemphasize, Todd Heap, yes, injury prone. He was used more as a blocker than a receiver last year, and I'm going to disagree with Ross on Tony Scheffler. I think the guy's a scrub, personally, and we're going to go right into our sleepers. And with that, none other better than Dr. Z himself, the Reverend Ralph Mancini.
Here's the holy gospel on the sleepers here. I love Kevin Voss from the New York Giants as a sleeper. The New York Giants love to give him the ball off of play action at the goal line.
Big red zone target, yep.
That's right. He's not going to put up 900 yards, but he's going to score you a lot of touchdowns. He runs well for a big man, was third among tight ends with 19 red zone targets last year. The other guy, and I beg to differ with Mr. Rossman here, Vicente Shenko, I like him as a sleeper.
Yes.
Hey, if Brett Favre comes to the Vikings, and it looks like he is, he loves throwing to the tight end. And, this guy, Shenko, last year proved that he can make plays down the seam, and he's also worked on his penchant for dropping balls.
I just don't know if he's going to be a sleeper because, I was checking Yahoo Fantasy Rankings, actually had him in the top five overall.
That's what I'm saying.
So I think he's going to be overhyped, maybe.
That's what I'm saying.
It's going to be tough to get a guy like Vicente Shenko late in the draft.
Well, I'll give you my couple of sleepers. We've already talked about them. I like Brent Celek, and I love JerMichael Finley. Another guy that I'm surprised the Reverend didn't mention, I think he's going to have a decent season combining with Mark Sanchez, who I know you guys don't like, but I do, and that's Dustin Keller.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to have a solid season. You can get him way late in the draft because of the uncertainty about the Jets quarterback position. And look, how far are you willing to reach for a tight end? You don't have to do it.
Well, I'll give you a reach, and maybe not so much a reach, but my deep sleeper for 2009, an NFL Draft Bible favorite.
Uh-oh. Dijon Robinson?
Marty B. Martellus Bennett, guys.
All right. Yeah, I can see that.
He's a player. He's a big red zone target.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even with Jason Witten in the mix, I can see two tight end formations. I can see Bennett as a red zone guy. And, towards the end of the season, he started to come on there. And he, for a guy that's like 6'7", 6'8", I mean, he's got some shake and bake to him.
It's a long way from Hard Knocks at the beginning of Hard Knocks.
No,
yeah,
I agree. This kid could be a monster.
Especially keeper league.
See, that's why I like that Dallas offense, man. A lot of options.
Okay, guys. Fantasy Football Insiders Radio. Nobody breaks it down like we do. Triple R Connection. Rick Ross and Ralph. Check us out on Twitter. Tweet? NFL Draft
Bible?
What
it is.
Something like that. Anyway, we're going to get into our tiers. We break them down for you. We're going to do tier 1, 2, and 3. We're going to work from reverse order. And we're going to start off with Rostradamus, who keeps his crystal ball nice and shiny. He always keeps his ball shiny to predict the future, and he's going to tell us his Tier 3 players.
Now we're going New York with the first two Tier 3 guys. That's Kevin Voss and Dustin Keller. Also a former New Yorker. I got Jeremy Shockey at the bottom of this Tier 3. I didn't want to put him in there, but...
How?
Hey, man, there's only so many tight ends in the league, Rick. I am not a Vernon Davis believer. Every year we hear this is going to be the year.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
I think Vernon Davis is what he is. What you see is what you get. Do we all agree on that?
Yeah,
yes.
I agree.
He's not
a polished guy.
I got Anthony Fasano, Vicente Shenko, and Bo Scaife to round out Tier 3.
I like Fasano, and speaking of those, Jersey guys, now Bone. Now Boney, another Mammoth guy.
You think?
There's another guy to keep an eye on. He's Anthony Fasano reincarnation.
That's a deep sleeper. That's a coma.
All right, let's go to the Reverend Ralph Mancini for his Tier 3 tight ends.
Yeah, Tier 3, Tears for Fears. I like John Carlson, Chris Cooley, Kevin Voss, Vashantyshenko, and Mr. Bo Scafie.
See, I have Carlson borderline Tier 1, Tier 2. With that said, we're going to go back to Ross for his Tier 2.
Yeah, I got a lot of Tier 2 guys here. You know, at the top of that list, I got Dallas Clark and Chris Cooley. I want to put them in Tier 1, but they're just not as good as those other three guys, in my opinion. I got Mr. Olsen, Rick's boy. I got Carlson, Miller, the Warrior, the Soldier, Winslow, Jr. I got Owen Daniels, Brett Celek, and everybody's favorite, Tony Scheffler.
Soldier boy! Hey, let's go to Reverend for his Tier 2.
Okay, I'll give you my guys. I want to focus on one particular player. I'm going to go with Zach Miller, heading the Tier 2 group. Not Tom Celek, Brett Celek, Owen Daniels, Dustin Keller, and finally,
ooh,
Kellen Winslow Jr. And, you know, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, I am not very high on Kellen Winslow Jr. this year. I don't like his offense.
Oh.
And wait a second, he came up empty last year on a high percentage of balls thrown in his direction. To me, when you combine his penchant for getting hurt with his shaky hands, you know, to me, Kellen Winslow is a guy that can disappoint.
Well, I think if Josh Freeman is going to start a lot of games like I anticipate, I think he's going to be scrambling and just looking to dump the ball off to the first man he sees open. And I think Kellen Winslow
is the Scheffler theory.
That's the guy. You know, one guy, I know he's not going to be in any of your Tier 1s. So before we get to Tier 1, the much anticipated, a guy, you know, who's been in the news lately as maybe a cap casualty, Heath Miller of the Steelers. I mean, this guy was a fantasy stud, you know, just a few years ago. Not so much last year, was not used in the red zone, but looks like, you know, Pittsburgh came out and kind of shut down the rumors that he would be released. Looked like he's not going anywhere anytime soon. So let's get your take on Heath Miller. We'll start with you, Ross.
Well, I like him, and I wouldn't be opposed to having him on my team, but again, he's kind of being phased out there. And I think that Pittsburgh has now identified him as one of those Pittsburgh type of guys that they feel they can just get rid of and replace.
Your boy Nate Washington is gone, so maybe, you know.
He is. Where's Miller going to play, though? He's going
to
stay in Pittsburgh this year.
He's going to throw it to somebody.
Sean McDonald, baby.
No, I mean, look, he's going to stay in Pittsburgh this year, but I see more of a repeat from last year where it was kind of a disappointment at tight end.
Your takes on Heath Miller, he didn't make any of your guys' tiers.
No, well, honestly, I like Miller a lot. It's just that I think that he would be much better in a different type of system.
Absolutely.
On a different team, I think he'd put up much better numbers. You know, Miller is the type of guy that, when you look at the stat sheet, it doesn't really indicate how good of a player he really is. You know, a lot of what he does doesn't show up in the stats on ESPN. You know, he clears a lot of space for the receivers. He's a good blocker, but I think he could do a whole lot more. And I think, as I said, if he goes to a much more explosive, pass-heavy offense, maybe if he goes to, I don't know, the Arizona Cardinals, for instance, maybe he could do much better out there.
I don't know. I think Heath Miller's good for 5 or 6 touchdowns, a handful. And for my money, I'll take him over the Jeremy Shockey that did make Tier 3.
Well, you know what? That's not crazy.
Look, Jeremy Shockey, for the record, is a guy that I don't want on my team. Even if he's available in the 16th round, I don't want him. Okay?
What if you're hanging out by a pool?
Well, if he's buying, then maybe
what if you're playing beer pong?
He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who'd be buying, Rev. All right,
guys, let's get into our Tier 1 rankings. The Reverend Ralph Mancini is going to preach to us.
Okay, the number one stud here is Mr. Jason Witten. Look for him to have over 100 catches this year. I also like Dallas Clark. I like Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, and yes, the Jersey boy, Greg Olsen.
Wow. My Tier 1 consists of only three guys. I think they're, you know, a little bit ahead of that group, half that group that Rev just mentioned. I love Jason Witten. He's going to have a monster season. I like Antonio Gates, and I think Gonzalez slips to third, but still in that elite trio.
Well, there you have it. There's our tier rankings for Rick Saratella, Ross Mandel, Ralph Mancini on the Fantasy Football Insiders Radio Show, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio, Fantasy Sports Channel. Check it out. Check out the NFLDraftBible.com. Before we get into our final thoughts, I want to give a shout-out to my man Clarence Kay, my man Jay Novacek, and all the others in between. Final thoughts, fellas, on the tight end position. you know, it's no secret that you wait on these guys. I don't know what to tell you about the tight ends. You know, I'll leave that up to you guys.
So let me give you some perspective on these tight ends here. Look, in a points per reception league, tight ends obviously have more value. But other than Tony Gonzalez last season, tight ends scored as many fantasy points as the 30th ranked wide receiver in fantasy football. That is all you need to know. You can still wait. You can wait, and you can wait some more unless you get Gonzalez. But even with him, you can wait because I think his numbers are going to be down. The point difference from the second best tight end to the 12th best tight end was as much as from Gonzalez to the second best tight end, if that makes any sense. The bottom line is it's a hodgepodge. On a weekly basis, you're not going to gain or lose a lot from going from number 3 or 4 to number 12 or 13. Wait on this position.
And with, you know, we talked about the Gonzalez trade and his value decreasing. It's not even worth taking him, you know, out in front of the pack because it's just really not going to pay huge dividends.
It's not.
Do you agree, Ralph?
Yeah, and Ross providing the stats there, Casey Joyner style. I'm going to simply tell you, don't believe the hype on the rookies. John Carlson last year was the exception, not the rule. Rookies, in my opinion, at the tight end position only have value in keeper leagues, so be very careful.
Well, I will think that Sean Nelson will be the ultimate sleeper, so I think he's this year's exception. And that about does it for another episode right here on the Fantasy Sports Channel, Black Talk Radio, NFL Draft Bible, for Ralph Mancini, Ross Mandel, Rick Saratella. We'll bring it to you proper.
And all access is football exclusive.
Justin, we're going to take a call if you don't mind. You ready?
Sure, yeah.
Hello, welcome to Monday Night Lights. How you doing?
Hi, it's Greg Kellogg. How you doing tonight?
Oh, good. We're sitting here talking with Justin Van Vulpen. What's going on?
Not a lot. I heard a little bit about your Brett Favre discussion. I like hearing that. I really do. I also like watching that guy, even though he's killed my Lions over the years.
And you being the Lions guy, what are they talking about with Matthew Stafford? How do they like that up there?
Well, most of them wanted to take a lineman or Curry was real popular there. But, you know, the fans in Philadelphia didn't want Donovan McNabb either. And the truth is, they really needed a franchise quarterback because Drew Stanton had shown he could get the job done. You know, how much do you really expect from Dante Culpepper? You got to have the guy. And I think Stafford, I'll tell you what I like about Stafford, is that what I've read from the experts is that he just blew people away with his chalk. His ability to go in and diagram a play, which shows good study habits and a good understanding of the game. I think that's tremendously important with success of a young player. And the second most thing that's important is to get signed in on time, which they got done. I think that's huge.
And Justin, I mean, we were talking, I think we touched base a little about it last week. I mean, almost, it seemed like me, the Philly, after Mark Sanchez was drafted, it was like the Jets and like they pulled a fast one on Detroit. A lot of people
thought, you know, talking with Pete guys in the know and GMs and everything like that, a lot of people had Mark Sanchez rated as their number one quarterback. Now Detroit had Stafford rated number one because of his ability to throw the deep ball with Scott Linehan and his offense coming in there. You know, that's a more as far as a yards per attempt. And when you looked at Stafford's yards per attempt, it was almost 10 yards per every time he attempted the ball in regards to his completions. So he's a guy who's going to get out there and throw the ball. They have Calvin Johnson. And a couple weeks ago there at minicamp, you know, being up there in Detroit, you know, seeing Stafford and what he can do, I mean, he was definitely poised and definitely a guy who, you know, started off and was kind of, you know, choked up, not necessarily choked up, but kind of hyped up and ready to go, but as things settled down and after Friday, Saturday, you know, and Sunday, he definitely looked like, hey, this guy could be a franchise quarterback and looked like a guy who could be like a Jay Cutler-type quarterback here in the NFL.
Ouch.
Ouch.
I just don't like Jay Cutler. I just don't. I think he was a product of that Denver system, and the fact that he threw 616 times last year got him up. If you look at his numbers before last year, he completes a high percentage, but he's had great receivers to work with over the years. I think Jay Cutler comes back to earth this year on the Chicago team that plays in bad weather and does not have good receivers.
Well, I think, you know, the Lions fans definitely hope that as far as Jay Cutler does that, that's for sure. But I think when you look at Jay Cutler, his arm strength, his ability to make those throws under duress, is something that Matthew Stafford definitely has that ability to, you know, as far as he had a lot of freshmen, sophomore, offensive line players this past year and was able to do that there. With, as far as the Jay Cutler, I think, you know, he helped a guy like Earl Bennett when Earl Bennett was a freshman, and Jay Cutler was a senior. Those guys hooked up, and Earl Bennett was an all-SEC receiver. Earl Bennett, I think, is a breakout player this year. You've got a guy like Devin Hester, who could be more of a slot guy. Iglesias, who they picked in the third round, is definitely a good receiver. And Greg Olsen, I think, is going to be a top-notch tight end this year for fantasy guys.
So you're thinking that Rashid Davis won't get any playing time at all?
You know, I think Rashid Davis is a guy who's going to get some playing time, but it's going to be cut down because Earl Bennett's going to take the playing time he had last year.
And you're basing that on the fact that they played together in college? Because Bennett did nothing last year. He didn't even get on the field, did he? He didn't catch a pass.
No, I mean, but based on, yeah, I mean, his talent and what the comfort that Jay Cutler has in Earl Bennett, and that's, you know, as far as timing, you know, they had that timing in college and, you know, and the, you know, the workouts and different things like that. I mean, Earl Bennett's, you know, Jay Cutler went back to Earl Bennett.
I think if Earl Bennett was that advanced,
the Bears received quite any passes last year, right?
He didn't play. Yeah, I think if Earl Bennett was that advanced, he'd have played last year. I think to predict a breakout, I mean, from a fantasy perspective, when I'm talking breakout, I want to see at least 60 receptions. And I don't think you're going to see that from Bennett this year. I think that he'll have the normal second-year progression from a rookie that really didn't do much, which is, you know, you might see 30 receptions from him. I do think he'll play more than he did last year, but that doesn't really take much.
That's definitely true. But I think you're going to see maybe not 60 receptions, but I think as far as 45 to, you know, in that range, 45, 50, you know, receptions in that offense, I think as far as you might be underestimating as far as Earl Bennett and the quarterback and receiver, the timing and comfort level that Cutler has with Earl Bennett and what they did in college.
Yeah, but he hasn't played with him in 4 years. So he's going to be working out with all of his receivers, and that's Rashid Davis and that's Devin Hester and that's Earl Bennett and it's the Iglesias kid. You know, I think the camp will show us a lot. We have to wait camp. I definitely would not push Bennett as a breakout player because, like I say, if you're only expecting 45 to 50 and assume 12 to 13 yards per catch, you know, where do you draft this guy? Are you talking about taking him in the 15th round? You know,
But I think he's definitely a guy who could, you know, who could be that third receiver on a lot of 12, you know, league teams. You know, and be a guy who's a productive receiver and scores 10 touchdowns for you.
You think he'll be the top 36 receivers in the league this year? I just don't see that. Not in Chicago. I don't think that offense is going to score enough points to put him into the top 36 this year.
Well, you know, I mean, we'll definitely see. That's for sure.
Yeah. Now, I didn't know Earl Bennett. I think Earl Bennett got more of a play time than Brett Favre this evening. How about something moving to the West Coast and get a little farther from the Midwest? How about somebody like Darius Haywood Bey, the 7th selection of the NFL draft? I think it blew a lot of minds. Everyone considered Crabtree the surefire, you know, pick there. What's your guys' take on that selection by the Raiders? Do you think it's going to work out? Or does he fit the system?
Go ahead.
I think he fits Al Davis' system in that he's got speed. He dropped 3 passes on Saturday morning in a row, and then he tweaked his hamstring and he didn't practice Saturday afternoon or Sunday. A lot of people are predicting this guy will be a real big bust, and he may be. But as far as rookie wide receivers go, he's going to be on the field, so he's going to get opportunities. Everything depends a lot on, in my mind, Jamarcus Russell, because Jamarcus Russell struggles with consistency and accuracy. If he can get accurate, you know, one thing we know about Hayward Bay is he can run. You know, and if you could throw him five passes and hit his hand and he drops three, he's still got two that are touchdowns. So, you know, I think he'll get chances. I don't think he's going to be that good of a receiver in the NFL.
Hey, here's a wager for you guys. Who's going to have a better season, Hayward Bay or Earl Bennett?
I'm going Earl Bennett.
I'm going with Hayward Bay because I think he'll be on the field. But I don't think either one of them will be better than guys like Percy Harvin or Jeremy Maclin or maybe even Jarrett Dillard. Dillard may have a great season in down in Jacksonville. But, again, you got to wait till the preseason to see how these guys are being used. Opportunity is everything.
Well, I think with Darius Hayward Bay, one thing he does is, you know, he had the West Coast system there at Maryland. And, yeah, he was, as far as catching the football, wasn't the greatest there, you know. But one thing, like you had said, in regards to Jamarcus Russell, him not being accurate, they did bring in Jeff Garcia, who was the starting quarterback last year in Tampa Bay, knows the West Coast offense from San Francisco to Philadelphia, et cetera. And he's a guy who I think if Jamarcus Russell does struggle early, you could see Jeff Garcia, you know, in there, and he's definitely a more accurate passer than what Jamarcus Russell is. Jamarcus Russell's got the big arm, you know, for his
Oakland doesn't run the West Coast offense.
Yeah, they do.
They never have. Oakland likes to throw the ball deep. The West Coast offense is predicated on short, quick slants where you run with the ball after you catch it.
Yeah, that's what the issue was with Jamarcus Russell last year, because for as they did when Lane Kiffin, he was a West Coast guy, and when they brought Lane Kiffin in, they started to run the West Coast offense, and they still did that with Tom Cable, a version of it.
I'll be real surprised if you see Oakland running a West Coast offense. Their personnel is not suited for it at all.
You guys think I was reading some Oakland stuff today. They said Jamarcus Russell looked like he really struggled. They said it looked like Darius Hayward Bay. I know they said he missed some practice with a sore hamstring. They said he dropped three consecutive balls during a drill. Those are little things to take note of. I mean, you'd much rather see positive reports. Do you think Jamarcus Russell is going to be able to what kind of career do you think he's going to have in Oakland? I mean, is he already a bust? What do you think they're going to get out of him this year?
I'll let you go first this time.
Well, last year was basically his rookie season. You know, his rookie season, he held out for a number of weeks and didn't get signed, didn't get in there. You know, I think Jamarcus also, he's got a big arm. He's a big, strong kid. And, you know, I don't think you can call him a bust right now. But, you know, there's a lot of expectations put on him. I mean, they've got a nice running game with, they've got a stable of running backs in there. Last year at the end of the season, you had Michael Bush. As far as take Tampa Bay out of the playoffs, they've got Justin Fargus, they've got Darren McFadden, so they've got a lot of weapons. Darius Hayward Bay is a nice fit as far as what they're trying to do in regards to, you know, as far as adding a receiver, and then you've got the tight end there. He's definitely getting more weapons around him, and that's what, you know, Oakland is trying to do, and I think that, you know, as he progresses, he's got to take the next step, I think, this year. As far as you definitely see guys take the next step from their second year starting in the NFL, and that's what he's got to do this season, or he might head down to the Alex Smith and being a possible bust as a first-round pick.
Yeah, I think it's way too early to call anybody a bust after really one season starting. If you look at his season last year, his last three games, he went 2-1 in the NFL. Quarterback ratings of 85.7, 128.1, 98.9. He threw two touchdowns in each of those games. And his yards per attempt, that's what I like to look at, his yards per attempt was 7.6, 9.4, and 7.0. Those are all pretty good numbers. Now, he didn't throw for a lot of yards because, you know, he threw 32 passes in one game, but mostly he was 25 and less. You know, you're not going to get Drew Brees numbers unless you're putting the ball up 40, 45 times a game. And
thought it was ironic that when you look at Jamarcus Russell's numbers, his numbers are almost identical to Kerry Collins. And, you know, they wanted to hang Jamarcus Russell, and then they wanted to, I mean, you know, they sent Kerry Collins to the Pro Bowl. It just shows you how much winning really affects your status. I mean, take, for instance, Philip Rivers. You know, they were at 4-8, I think, when the ballots finally hit, and, you know, they ended up making the playoffs. You got a guy passing for over 4,000 yards and breaking Dan Fouts' touchdown record in one season, and he misses the Pro Bowl for a guy like Kerry Collins.
That's not really fair to Rivers. Rivers has an outstanding year. That's true.
Oh, I agree. I thought he was fabulous. But like I said, you know, they look at those wins, and like I said, I just find out ironic.
And the game that Kerry Collins had to carry the team, I think it was the Chicago game, he threw for over 300 yards and a couple touchdowns. He did it with no receivers, too. I mean, if there's a team that has worse receivers than the Bears, it's probably the Raiders. I mean, excuse me, the Titans. The Raiders are pretty bad, too.
Yeah. So, and we're talking a little Monday Night Lights football here, and we're going to move it on. Something we were talking about earlier we wanted to touch base on. We had two teams last year under first-time head coaches, the Falcons with Mike Smith and the Ravens with John Harbaugh. What do you guys think of their chances of repeat success? Kellogg, you take your pick on which one you think is going to make it back.
Well, I think Harbaugh's got a better shot, but he lost his defensive coordinator, and I don't think you can underestimate or overestimate how important that is. Rex Ryan is a great defensive coach. Unless they can continue with what Ryan did, I can see them dropping back maybe to third in their division. My problem with the Falcons is I believe I looked at their second-half schedule last year. They played nobody. But I love the acquisition of Tony Gonzalez. Pariah Jerry, his knee's okay, I think, helps that defense. Jamal Anderson is looking good, so that'll give us some pressure. But they got rid of their linebacker core. The only one left is Curtis Lofton, who really didn't show that much as a rookie. So I think this team's going to struggle. I think they're both going to struggle in their second year because the expectations – are so high for both.
Well, I think when you bring back a defense that's led by Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, you know, those two guys are definitely Hall of Fame type players. And, yeah, they're getting a little bit long in the tooth there on defense, but I think as far as, you know, they've definitely got a shot. You know, Atlanta, they did it with some smoke and mirrors with their defense.
I mean, they went through a lot of defensive coordinators, Marvin Lewis, Mike Nolan. I mean, Singletary was there as an assistant. So they've gone through plenty of guys. It seems like they've always maintained. I don't know if that has so much to do with how focused Ray Lewis gets that team or not. But even throughout all the defensive coordinators that have gone through Baltimore, it always seems like they keep pace. I mean, you guys agree?
Well, they have three great players during those years in their prime. I mean, they had a lot of great players in their prime. They've lost some pretty good talent this year, not only Ryan. Remember, they lost Bart Scott. They lost Jim Leonard. Chris McAllister's no longer there. They've lost a lot of talent on that team, and we'll see. But I think they're in one of the toughest divisions in football. And I also see Cincinnati coming up real strong if Carson Palmer's healthy. If Carson Palmer's healthy, that team got a lot better in the offseason.
Yeah.
Well, I think Cincinnati, like we talked about last week, Cincinnati, in my opinion, had the best draft. You know, with a guy like Andre Johnson and Ray Maluga and Chase Kaufman, and you know, list goes on. As far as they did a good, for a solid job drafting, and they're going to be back. If, like I said, if Carson Palmer is healthy, but I think as far as you know, the Ravens they added. You know, they always do well in the draft. They always are able to restock players. You got a guy like Tavares Gooden who's going to stop. You know, step in for a Bart Scott, who, you know, was a great, you know, good, really good player at Miami. You know, I think there's the safety. You've got Tom Zbikowski from Notre Dame, who's a third-year player. So they've got guys who can come in, step in, and take the place. And you've got a guy like Ed Reed and, you know, Terrell Suggs coming off the edge and, you know, Ray Lewis, you know, manning that middle. So I think as far as when they have those three cogs there and in Haloti Ngata as far as plugging up the middle, if those guys stay healthy, they can fit those players around and have those young players come up and take a step forward in the role in that defense.
Do you see a 13-3 season from them again?
I don't think they're going 13-3, but I definitely think they're a team that's definitely going to contend for a playoff spot.
Well, I think they'll contend for a playoff spot. I think Atlanta will too, but I think they'll both step back before they were last year.
I agree with you on record-wise, but I think as far as I still think the Ravens make the playoffs coming this season.
See, I think Atlanta can make the playoffs too. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Panthers with Jake.
They're in a pretty easy division. Atlanta is, but you know, I have to go look at their schedule. So you can go ahead and talk about it. I thought just based on my first impressions, their schedule for next year was pretty tough.
You're talking about Atlanta?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, like you said, I mean, the Ravens playing in the AFC North, I mean, they got a tough with the Steelers already in tow, and I think Cincinnati and Cleveland both improved in the offseason. You guys had to take somebody.
If Cleveland gets rid of Braylon Edwards, I think they step way back. Realizing Edwards had a terrible year last year, I still think he's the best receiver on the team. But I do like that running back they picked. Kid they got in the sixth round.
James Davis.
I think that kid could be a surprise this year.
Yeah, that was a nice one. Me and Justin talked about him last week. You know, he was one of the most highly touted guys prior to the 08 college season. He was one of the big names and kind of just fell off there. I don't know why. And you're listening to Monday Night Lights. We're talking a little football. And it's never too early to start talking about it, and because it's going to be here before you know it with mini camps and OTAs and everything in full swing. If you guys had to pick an AFC-NFC champion, who are you guys going to go with?
We're pulling real forward. But, you know, I really like, you know, as far as in the NFC, what the Chicago Bears did with Jay Cutler, with that defense, and if they can get Urlacher and Brian as far as Lance Briggs to play to what they've done in the past with Tommy Harris as far as that defense. I really like what they can do with Matt Forte, the running game. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Chicago Bears there in the NFC. In the AFC, you know, I think Pittsburgh is definitely going to be there. I don't see them repeating as AFC champs. I like what Tennessee's done, you know, as far as they've added a Nate Washington. They've added the receiver from Rutgers in the draft, Kenny Britt. They added Jared Cook as a tight end. We're going along with they've got their two-headed running back, and I'd like to see the Bears in Tennessee. I mean, it's early, but I think that's the two teams that I think have done some pretty well in the off season and had a pretty good season last year. Not only as far as the Titans, you know, having the best record in the AFC and the Bears fighting for that wild card as well as the NFC Central's division championship right down to the last week of the season.
And Kellogg, where are you going to go with?
Well, for the AFC, you know, I love Indianapolis. I think they're much improved to Donald Brown at running back. Even if a guy holds off Donald Brown, it means he's playing a lot better than he has in recent years. If he doesn't, Donald Brown's going to start. He's going to play well. I also like Collier that they picked up. So I love the Colts, but I don't think they can beat the Patriots this year. I think with Tom Brady coming back, the Patriots are going to be very strong. So I've got the Patriots in the AFC. In the NFC, you know, I just can't pick somebody from the North. I've been a Lions fan for years, and I just don't think that – first of all, I don't think Chicago's that good. I do think that Minnesota wins that division again, with or without Brett Favre. I think Minnesota wins that division. The NFC West is no good. I think Carolina could be a strong team this year, but I really think it's either going to be the Giants or the Eagles. Whichever team wins the NFC East will be the Super Bowl contender against the Patriots. And I think the Patriots put another ring on Brady's finger.
And Kellogg, I mean, you being the Detroit Lion guy, I mean, with Culpepper and Stafford, I mean, what's their mindset, do you think, there? I mean, do they want Stafford to step in, or they want to kind of baby step it and let Culpepper play out the season, you know, have moderate success, and then throw Stafford in 2010?
Well, I think they want to – if you remember back, Arizona was trying to work Kurt Warner and Matt Leinart in together. I don't think they'll rotate quarterbacks the way Arizona did. I don't think that plays well. But I think if Detroit is competing, if they're winning games, which I never thought they were an 0-16 team last year. I mean, they played Minnesota two of the closest games the Vikings had all year. Two or three plays in each game, and they win a lot of the games. They got blown out by Tennessee. I mean, there's no question about that. But I think Detroit wins 6-7 games this year. I really do. I think they've got the talent, and I think they've improved their defense. I think the Larry Foote signing is just huge. If they get some defensive line play, the Lions could be a much – probably the best of three team, although with win zero, it's not hard to do that. I think what they – as long as they're winning games and they're at least, you know, looking like they're a contender, then Culpepper's going to play. But if they start falling out, if they get off to like a 2-6 start or something, then I think you're going to see the fans and the ownership call for Stafford. Might as well look him in the second half of the season, let him take his lumps his rookie year at the end, and then come back next year as the starter.
And having a coach, a new coach Jim Schwartz there, talking about players like Ernie Sims and Larry Foote, and I think what you did, you guys sign Julian Peterson as well?
Yeah, so Peterson will be playing on the strong side. You got Foote in the middle, and you got Sims on the right, on the weak side. This is a pretty talented linebacker.
Yeah, and then somebody I took notice of last season, I thought he kind of stayed under the radar, was the defensive end, Cliff Arville. What do you expect from him in this season?
Well, you know, it's tough to say. I really believe defensive ends are helped out a lot by defensive tackles. They can get pressure up the middle because you can't double team quite as much when you've got that. Detroit's had a lot of projects at defensive end, but they haven't really had a good one since James Hall left for St. Louis, and Hall was only a 1 or 2 year under. So I think Dwayne White is still their best defensive end. I think Avril could make some noise. He'll be in the rotation. I'm just not real sure he's going to be a superstar. I tell you who I like. I like the kid they took in the second round. A lot. I really do like Louis Dalmas, safety. And I think the defensive coordinator said that he's Gunther Cunningham said he's the best since
Dale Carter.
Dale Carter, right. Best he's seen since Dale Carter. You know, if he even comes close to living up to that, that is a tremendous compliment.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Pump it up. breaks a couple of tackles. Headlock and he'll go! Headlock and he'll go! He could go all the way!
Breaks a couple of tackles. Headlock!